things for the opportunity to be together in good Christian fellowship. Thank you, Jesus Christ, who makes this possible for us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that encourages us and guides us. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, as the songs are sung tonight, that we will worship you. Father, that we will be drawn closer to you. And we again, we thank you for great fellowship. And draw us away from the things going on in the world that can be so evil, Lord, and distracting. And take us away, Father, from the purpose of building your kingdom. And it's times like these, Lord, that we're encouraged, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the talents that you've given to your people, and we can enjoy them together. We ask your blessing on this time tonight, all of the families that are here, Lord, and on the listeners as they lead us in worship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua, when you get to heaven, and there's a few others, Moses, I believe he makes a way for when there's no way even today, amen, amen, very grateful. Someone come ask, you know, you always heard the statement, define God in one word. Of course, that's kind of impossible to do, but the word that comes to mind, me personally, is just faithfulness. He's been faithful year after year, century after century. And what a joy it is to walk in that confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him. What a joy it truly is. Well, we just wrapped up, I think the last year when we were here, we were wrapping up the time in the prisons. We were again in the Alabama prisons this year. And what a joy. I mean, I don't think many people realize there is a living church behind many of those prison walls. And a while back, I'm sorry, my voice is about shot, but it was Wednesday night. We were in a prison that just had an excellent meeting and saw some men give their lives to Christ. But in talking with the chaplain and some afterwards, just the church that is inside that prison, it says they've got elders within their church, and they have sent out as missionaries. They take a pastor and put in each cell block. So there's a witness for Christ in each one, and the correctional officers are all behind this, and so they work with them to get, you know, so they're putting a missionary in each cell, and I mean, just the vision they have for their own community there. And I thought, you know, we can learn a few things here, but what a joy it was to be with them and to see the Lord working in their midst. Hey, we're going to do a song I'm sure you know, and we welcome you to sing along with us. It's entitled Down at the Cross.
Thank you. family enjoys many of the old hymns, and a while back my sister was reading through and found one, and just really enjoyed the words, just the exhortating of worship and praise, and so we kind of took it and rewrote the melody. Psalms 100, it says there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with thanksgiving. And the chapter goes on there, but just as we gather to worship and praise, the importance of being thankful. It's really kind of hard to lift praise with an ungrateful heart, and there's so much to be thankful that we have to be thankful for. Amen. So this is entitled Sing Praise. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And I love the picture that paints of us being the sheep and Jesus being the shepherd, because I've never worked with sheep before, but I've talked to people that have, and they said that the sheep are extremely dependent on their shepherd or their owner or their master. They, you know, count on them for food, for water. They're kind of a dumb animal otherwise. But in the New Testament, Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And this next song is entitled, He is Everything to Me.
It's always smooth. When I can see So she has had the fun challenge of learning how to train him. Alethea just recently turned sweet 16, and she is that. She is a joy around the home, but she enjoys doing a variety of needlework projects and crafts with her nieces and nephews. Nathaniel is 14 years old, and he really enjoys drawing, and this past spring he started working for a farmer milking cows.
Next in line is Krista. She is 9 years old, and she enjoys learning violin and playing with her nieces and nephews.
Next in line is Daddy. He's the oldest one in our family.
Still, at a time. You know, we live in a country that things are rapidly changing, and most often not for the good. Of course, this last year we saw our government declare that now marriage is more than just one man and one woman, and my heart just grieves because man becomes so proud that he thinks he can write his own laws and that supersedes God. And I was visiting with we were sharing in a prison the other night, and we were talking about truth, and I was sharing with the men truth, and in the Greek dictionary, the Greek word there is aletheia. And I started looking through some definitions, and the second definition down, one of the words that it used was reality. I thought, that's really unique. No, it's not unique, but that's really true, because if we are embracing truth, we are living in reality. If we reject the truth, we are living in a fantasy. And I said to the guys, if I thought I could fly, and they all snickered at me, I would be living in a fantasy. No matter how much I believed it, it still would not be true. It's a fantasy. Only when I embrace gravity and my weight that's pulled to the earth because of gravity am I living in reality. And folks, there is such a need for truth in this country. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I really don't think God changed his mind about marriage.
Amen.
In fact, I'm sure he did. Because one of the other aspects that it defined truth is the aspect that it is always true. Always. About a month ago, I was sharing up at a family camp up in North Dakota. They have family camp up there in January. I can't believe it. It was like 39 degrees below windshield. But anyway, that's a side note. But as I was sharing some of these things with them, just concerning the issues of the family, and I said, as I read down through the list of the things that are taking place in our country, whether you talk about finances, or you talk about the morality that we are seeing decay in our country, I said, this is not a political problem. It's not. I have my desires of who I'd like to see get elected. But to me, it wouldn't really matter if we got a sold-out Christian president and a sold-out Christian Congress, because right now, if the leadership of this country would embrace biblical values, we would have rioting in our culture, because the problem is within the people who have no fear of God. And until we realize that the issue is individual people, not Washington, it's the problem, and we have the answer for that, we will not have a heart for the lost. There is a need for truth in this culture, and we are to be proclaimers of it, and Jesus is the foundation of that truth. I want to share an old hymn, and if you know it, you're sure welcome to join in with us. It is our heart cry for this land. It's entitled Revive Us.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now on above. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life. Who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain.
Secondhand, but they said the inmate stood up and said, "You know," he said, "I was not arrested." And everybody kind of goes, "Really?" And no, he said, I was not arrested. Rescued. He said, "I was not arrested." He said, "I was rescued." And he said, "My life was that I was involved with a drug scene." And he says, I have very little doubt that if I would have continued down the path that I was going, that I would be a dead man right now in the pits of hell." He said, "That's where my life was headed."
And he says, but God rescued me from that and brought me into this place where I can sit down and hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that man was so grateful to be there. You think about that a little bit, you know. But he was, and he saw that place as his mission field. And he had a powerful testimony for men that would be in there that had a similar background of what God had done in his life. This song is a kind of a hoedown type song. It's entitled, I Found a Way. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And so
The whole foundation of redemption is found in the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to have you sing along with us on this one and get Hannah up here to help me. My voice is about... Anyway, it's been a busy week. It's not doing too good. So we're going to... Let's go ahead and let's stand. You've been sitting for a while. You keep passing the plate there. But would you be free from your burden and sin? That's the first word, right? We're going to do this in the key of G. A. Thank you. A. A. There you go. I know it kind of tipped. There we go. You got it. You're on the plate. Would you be free? Would you be free from your burden and sin? If I am blind, I am blind. Would you come in for the faithful sin? His wonderful power in my blood. Practice that when somebody gets out of prison, they sing, "I'll Fly Away," okay? But the person who gets, you gotta kind of be there, maybe you get to part of this, but the person who is getting out of prison, as they sing that, he's gotta stand up front flopping his wings, and he's flying away. So they have a little bit of sense of humor there, okay? Okay. We're doing this in G, okay? There we go. Okay. Oh, somebody floating wings like a soul around. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." And folks, my life really needed some direction at that point. So I grabbed a hold of that verse and just embraced it and memorized it. And I found that to be so true. We're going to have our youngest, Carissa, come and share a beautiful hymn that's written with that idea. You know, Jesus said, give children as an example of faith, to have faith like a child. And so I think it's appropriate to have a child sing this song. It's entitled, He Leadeth Me. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And of course, he did. And I find it just, you know, the maze, because people knew he'd been there and he'd been that way from birth. And so it caused quite a stir, and it gave them the opportunity once again to preach the gospel, the good news. They got in trouble for that. And of course, they got hauled in before the authorities and giving account. They make a statement there that I just think so often would be our testimony also, that he said, you know, we cannot help but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. And to be able to do that in our own mind. And so this is a song that talks about the work of Christ in the life of a lost soul. Thank you.
lifts his name.
Judgment. There's an appointed day for each one of us in this room when this this life on this earth comes to an end. And as a family, we were very soberly once again reminded of that. It was last year that we were on this trip, and we were getting within a few days of wrapping everything up and heading home that we received word of a couple in Mount Pleasant, Iowa that we've really gotten to know over the years. We sing there an old Threshers reunion every year, and they host our married children as they come in and join us. And here, the husband, and I think he's about my age, and he had been to the gym that night, and so he did a lot of physical exercise and, you know, keeping himself in shape. And in the middle of the night, she woke up, and here he was gone. The Lord had taken him home. And so you hear that, and you just kind of, whoa. And to realize that there is an appointed time. Now, praise God, they both knew the Lord and how she has responded, even with a heart of gratefulness to some of the things that the Lord did in the year leading up to that, that now have been so special to her, that the Lord made way of him taking a trip with just his daughter individually and just the special times that they had. She actually... It amazes me that she was just grateful that what the Lord had done in preparing her for that, because it didn't surprise the Lord. He called him home. And, I always remember when my dad passed away and standing at his grave that day thinking, you know, Dad, there's only one thing that really matters right now. And that's you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, because everything else in life is secondary at that point. Believe me. That's all that really will matter. I want to share a song, a country song a number of years ago, and it talks about the aspect of death and just evaluating what really life is about and what we live our life here on this earth for and what really will matter. It's entitled Three Wooden Crosses. Thank you.
That are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Jesus, I am resting in the joy of
close this evening, I'd like to just share a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 15. And is there a Bible around? I normally use my phone, but there's no lantern. Is there any better service I can get here? And is there one? And I want to share this because Paul writes a whole chapter, chapter 15, talking specifically about the resurrection. And I don't know if you've ever read that chapter all through and studied it, but we're not going to do that tonight, okay? This is going to be just a closing thought, but I'm going to pick up towards the end of the chapter, starting in verse 50, and take it on out. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery." He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, when they use the word sleep, Paul would refer to what we would commonly say is die, you know, dying. We're not going to stay in that state of when we've died. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He goes on to say, "So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I was reading that through and read the whole chapter, and it started dawning on me because I don't know, you know, how many have ever heard that one statement read at a funeral or memorial service? "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I know that's read many times, and I mean, I'll be honest, and I've stood there and I see people understandably weeping, and yet we say, "O death, where is thy sting?" But then when you start reading it in the context of what he says here, basically he says, you know, mortality cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to become, the immortality has to be. We get a new body. The corruptible takes on the incorruptible. And he has made provision for that, and that we will enter into his presence with a new body. And you know what the pathway is for us to get from mortality to immortality? Death. And it's in that context that he says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Now I'll take you back to Genesis. When God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, what did he say would happen if they did? "You shall surely die." Correct. Yeah. And I got to realize that we serve a God who is a redeemer. Amen. He is the redeemer, and he comes. And so now the proclamation of the consequence of sin, which we inherited because of our sin, because of the death and the resurrection of his Son Christ, it is now that very pronouncement of death is that very avenue by which we enter into his presence with an incorruptible body. In him. Only in him. What a gift that he's given. That is the God that we serve. He has taken a situation, if you remember back in the Garden of Eden, that God took Adam and Eve out of there and guarded the tree of life because it says that if they ate of that, they would live for all of eternity in this sinful state. So the issue is just not eternal life, because we could have had that if they just ate from that tree in the Garden of Eden, but we've been in a continual state of sin and the heartache that comes with it and the disappointments and the tears. God guarded us from that, and in Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection, we now are able, through death, to enter into His presence for all those who have received Him. John 1 says, but to those who receive Him, who believe on His name, He gave the right to be called children of God. You go back to Revelation, and it's only in Him that we experience what He's writing here. In fact, you read there, and it's so contrary. You know, I was sharing with the men the other night, and just the contrast between sin and what Jesus is about. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He says that I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Which one do you want? I mean, it's a 180. And the book of Revelation, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says they'll be cast into the lake of fire where there'll be torment day and night with no relief. And yet those that are in Christ Jesus will be ushered into His presence where it says there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more sickness, no more pain. What a gift we've been given. If you're here this evening and you've never come to know Christ, I just encourage you to, pastors here, we'll be around here, but if God's convicting your heart of your need to get right with Him, the price has already been paid. The blood has been shed. And in Him, we can look forward to that day. And we can say along with Paul, O death, where is thy sting? Because we have life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when He comes to call us home. We want to close with that thought this evening. And it's entitled this, I'm looking for Jesus to come.
Lord, you lead us to worship You and to serve You.
We were in sin, and you brought us out of that, and we thank you for that so much. We praise you, Lord, for saving us, for drawing us out of the world, for when you spoke, we did hear, and we followed. And we are your sheep, and you're the shepherd. We are in your pasture. Lead us to build your kingdom, Father, and use what you've given us as we see the wisdom's doing, the talents that you've given them to build your kingdom through music and through the message, through ministry and sacrifice and time. And Father, we ask that you lead us in the same way, the way you have us. Bless every family that's here, Lord, and bless your church and truly revive us again, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name.